Welcome to Home on the Res. I'm Jennifer Francis.
And I'm McFavel. We're your hosts.
Home on the Res is a radio podcast produced by FinBOA, the First Nations National Building Officers Association.
FinBOA supports the work of building officers across Canada who do inspections, repairs, renovations, advocacy, advising, and so much more.
FinBOA produced Home on the Res to let people know what building officers do every day to improve housing on First Nations. Home on the Res is broadcast on 6 Indigenous radio networks across Canada that reach 366 communities in Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Ontario, Alberta, BC, and the Yukon.
If you missed an episode or want to listen again, you can find all 3 seasons of Home on the Res at www.fnnboa.ca.
Wow, 3 seasons? Is there anything left to talk about?
You know, we've learned a lot about what building officers do, but we haven't talked about who they are. Who are these heroes of housing, and how do you become a building officer?
Thinking about a career change, Mick?
You never know. I'm certainly curious to know more.
Our Home on the Res reporter and producer, Lori Dietz, talked with Lisa Montour from Kahnawake, Mohawk Territory near Montreal, Quebec.
Awesome. Lisa has a great story about how she became a building inspector for the Kahnawake Housing Department.
Here's Lori's conversation with Lisa Montour.
Thank you so much for agreeing to be interviewed, Lisa. So could you tell me a bit about your background, about what you do for work and who you work for?
I work for Mohawk Council of Kahnawake.
And why did you become a building inspector?
I thought it was a great opportunity with my background.
You said that it was a good direction to go because of your background. What type of work were you doing before this?
It wasn't really the work. It was my interest, and it was more or less my educational background, because I started off in design, and interior design was the course that I did at Dawson College. And I just was always interested in structures and construction and building materials. And that was like my sole interest. Like, I had jobs as an illustrator because I was able to put things on paper, my ideas, and sketch things and be able to visually communicate. So I put the two and two together, and I ended up taking a course for residential and commercial drafting, where it became the computer age, and I had to get into the computer age. So I did that. I think that was an 18-month course. And then I was looking for jobs, and I couldn't get a job. Like, everybody wanted a secretary, and that was just not something I was interested in. So then that course came up at Vanier College that was for inspecting existing dwellings. So I took that. Then the job posting came right up right after. And I figured it was a great opportunity. I get to work in my community. Also, I get to do things that I'm interested in.
Being a woman in a male-dominated field, any advice you might have for other women that want to get involved?
It's a lot of pressure. Because I'm a woman, I think men don't take it seriously, take me seriously as a woman. It took a long time for me to get to have the rapport that I have with them today, different contractors. And still to this day, there are a few that still resist. And it took a long time to get to where I am now. It took a long time for me to gain their trust. And now I think at this point, I've been in my job for, it'll be 14 years in February. Now I feel like they are not, maybe not threatened anymore. And they call me and they ask me to look things up and to find out solutions for certain things. And in the past, I admit that of course, nobody can know everything, especially when you're first starting out. I didn't know things, and I might have steered people in the wrong direction. But now I found a lot of things out, and I'm working with a few engineers. I have a few engineers at my fingertips. I have CMHC. I have FinBOA. I have a lot of resources, and they the community contractors and outside contractors recognize that I have these supports in place that I can look for things. And if they need to find something, I'll lend them books. I'll lend them my resources. If I can't find it for them myself, I'll help them to find the way. Also in my job, it includes realizing different like areas where contractors need certain training. So I have to put together training for them. I attend a training with them, so I know what they're trained on. So if I see, say, somebody is having a hard time estimating, I'll look for a course for them for estimating. And then that makes their job easier. They come in, they are able to make some money and not lose money because their estimating skills are getting better. And then I'll have an easier time because now I'm looking at better materials. They know how long it's going to take. They know what materials they got to use. They're not trying to like nickel and dime at the end of a job.
A little bit more about the type of training that you received, and if somebody wanted to become a building officer, how would they become a building officer?
I don't know exactly if what I did would be a conventional way. I started off in interior design. And when we did interior design, we learned, people think it's decorating, but it's not decorating. It has to do with materials, and you have to like think in different ways. You have to be creative, and you have to know the properties of materials. So we're taught all of these things, and we learned everything from concrete all the way up to paper and glass. We learned a lot of things about materials and their properties. And we were taught from architects and engineers on how to draw, how to visually communicate. And we learned from the bottom all the way to the top that there is a way to put materials together to build a house, and how the forces are and how the forces work. We were taught by engineers. And then we also learned the technical aspect of it. Were at that time, it was drawing on paper with lead. And then I eventually ended up going to a course where they taught us AutoCAD. It was all computerized. But that's just one way of putting a house on paper kind of thing. I learned how to read the drawings. I can do the drawings. But when we were in interior design, we had to take out the National Building Code, and we had to draw our drawings according to the National Building Code. So in interior design, if you wanted to, it's almost like a bar exam for a lawyer. You have to be able to pass an exam at the end, and the exam is based on your knowledge of the National Building Code.
You talked a bit about loving your job and being very happy at your job. So can you just tell me a little bit more exactly about what you love about your job and what your passion is in regards to your job?
I love showing up on the job site and people, contractors are happy to see me. Sometimes they're not happy to see me. But I really try to do my best, and I'm working on a better rapport with some of the ones who are just like, they really are against. It's not just a woman thing. It's any inspector. I guess maybe they had a bad experience before, but I know I'm not going to go onto a job and become their friend. I know that, but I don't feel like I should be the one who is like the tough guy. I feel like I would work with them to be able to find a solution. If this is the best of your ability that you're doing, yet somebody else hired you, I'm going to help you to do the best of your ability and help you with suggestions. It's not like I'm here to kind of like ram something down somebody's throat and like enforce like the law is the law kind of thing. I'm here to work with them and say, well, you could have used this. You could have, you know, there were a lot of other ways. There's a lot of solutions you could have looked at.
So one of the challenges in First Nations communities are the condition of the homes. While building officers don't build bad housing, you find, how does a building officer manage these challenges of homes being built, but are not meeting building codes or building standards?
Well, we do what we can to offer the best solution. A lot of times we can't really kind of tackle every single thing, but we try best with their, it's got to be roof, it's got to be their structure, it's got to be the plumbing, the electrical, like it's got to be major things taken care of. Cosmetic things, we can deal with at another time. We try to like get it to be as a healthy home as possible. But a lot of times we have money constraints. A few times we had to condemn a home and we replaced it with something like a mobile home where the community member just didn't have the funds to be able to do it themselves. So it's rare, but sometimes it happens, and it's a necessity. We're committed to providing quality homes for our residents. So we have to do our best.
What would you say some of the biggest challenges are?
I had one contractor who he was doing his insulation, and I told him, I tried to a lot of the contractors really need to be brought in to go to school, but a lot of them have their pride and they don't want to be told, especially told by a woman, that something can be done a different way. There's new ways, there's new materials. They like their old ways and they're comfortable doing things their way.
How do you interact with contractors who build the homes? And if the homes aren't being built to codes, how do you deal with these situations? You just gave an example, and do you just...
It's up to them. Also, I can't be there 24/7. So sometimes things get by me that I didn't see. Also, it's the homeowner hires their contractor. We're not in charge of the contractors. They hire them. So they might not know that things are wrong. So they accept it. So in 5 years, when there's a failure or something goes wrong and you notice something, then you're going to come back on us and say, how come your inspector didn't catch this? But the homeowner said he was okay with it at that time. He didn't realize the impact it was going to take 5 years for it to even show what I was talking about.
So would you say people who have a lot of experience in construction would do well in your type of business? Like if they transfer from one to the other with that construction business, construction experience behind them?
If the person was open, had an open type of mind to be able to, realize there's a lot of different ways to do things, was willing to go to school, was willing to take courses to upgrade. If they already have a lot of background in construction, and you have to kind of like be a people person too. You know, there's a lot of different personalities you have to deal with. A lot of people are hard to get along with. There's the easy ones, but...
Any last words on advice for people who might want to get into doing your type of work, or any women who want to get involved in inspection, building, that side of things?
I was told from a young age that I was just making it harder for myself being a woman, and this is a men's field, which I didn't think about that much at the time. Until I actually had to work in the field, then it came into play. So yeah, it makes things a lot harder, but even though it still never stopped me. So if somebody has the determination and they really liked it and they really thought this was what they wanted to do, I wouldn't say, don't let something stop you that, you know, don't let somebody else tell you what you can't do. Only you know what you can't do. I didn't feel like it would ever feel like a job. I felt like it would be like a fun thing. And still to this day, I have fun on my job. I don't feel like it's work because I'm going to work, but I'm doing what I love.
Okay. Thank you so much, Lisa. I'm really glad you took the time to talk with me, and I really appreciate it.
Cool.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Take care. Be safe.
Inspiring. Lisa did so many different things that prepared her to be a housing inspector.
No kidding. Interior design, then drafting, then computers, and finally inspecting houses.
And it sounds like she's still learning about new materials and construction methods.
Plus, she's helping other people learn about new materials and methods.
That's right. Communication is a big part of her job. It's interesting to hear her talk about the challenges she has because she is a woman.
I don't get it. Lisa has so much training and experience. Who wouldn't want to work with someone like that?
You're a good man, Mick.
I'm a smart man.
You are a smart man. Smart enough to be a building officer?
Maybe. But I think I'll stick with journalism.
I'm glad. It's been great working with you on Home on the Res.
Thanks, Jennifer. It's been great working with you. I'm Mick Favel.
And I'm Jennifer Francis.
Thanks to Shannon Avison, our journalism professor at the First Nations University of Canada.
Thanks to our executive producer, John Krajowski.
The FinBOA Board of Directors.
And CEO Keith Marico for giving us the opportunity to learn about housing on First Nations in Canada.
And don't forget our fearless and brilliant Home on the Res reporter, producer, Lori Dietz.
And all of the people who shared their research and experience and passion for housing with us on Home on the Res.
From our Home on the Res to yours, stay safe, everyone.
Thanks for listening.